I think I figured out the words he was singing there then, even though it's another language. And I am always blessed and stirred when I hear it in English and I hear another language. People need the Lord. Well, Brother Earl reminded me this morning that because we had so much going on, I had to preach my underwear message again, the brief one. And so if you'll turn to Isaiah 55, verse 11, you don't have to turn there. You just listen to me. I'll give it to you real quick and lay it on the line as quick as we can, and we'll move on forward. We have a baptism service this morning as well, so you can see we have a very busy day, to say the least. Isaiah 55, if I could read to you, verses 8 through 11. The Bible says here, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it." I'm reminded from this several things about the Word of God, but by way of introduction, would you just notice I've underlined these, verse 8 and 9, my ways, my thoughts. Verse 11, my word, my mouth. And then where the Bible says, "But it shall accomplish that which I please," I've labeled that my purpose. God's ways, God's thoughts, God's word, God's mouth, all because it's intended to accomplish God's purpose. I guess when I first started studying the Bible and began to sort of notice it and took note that we ought to care about every single word, because I believe every word is God-breathed, inspired of God. The these, the ands, the if, the buts, all of them are there. And I was reminded in my early days that God never puts anything in His Word just to be a filler. It's not like when you wrote an essay in school and you just wrote a lot of malarkey there to hopefully get a better grade than a C minus. Several of y'all probably never should have passed English in the first place. But you remember just kind of blowing a little smoke up the short, so to speak, of your teacher, hoping they would give you a good grade. But God doesn't do that. Every word has a purpose. Every part of it is driven by the Holy Spirit to get a thing accomplished. And that thing being accomplished is the Word of God getting to a lost soul so that person can have an opportunity to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that they might be saved. And as I thought about this, the history of the book of Isaiah, some 800 years before Jesus Christ, and yet in those days there was still a focus and an emphasis on the Word of God. But Isaiah lived in a tough time, a time when there was a political and national mess, if I could say that. You're probably familiar with it enough to know that they had been through much. King Uzziah, that Isaiah had served with and under. There were actually four kings he served with. But King Uzziah died back in chapter 6. And Isaiah even goes through the motions of what most missionaries do. When the Lord said, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And there's two couples here that's done that. Maybe God's dealing with somebody else to do the same. But I'm just reminded of how in the middle of that national and political vacuum and mess, God sent a messenger. And that messenger was Isaiah. And Isaiah gives a great message to a people who are in such a turmoil and an upheaval, they don't know what to do next. There's the king is going to die. Another king is going to die. There's going to be a rising up of the Assyrians, and not only them, but the Babylonians, and the 10 tribes go into Assyrian captivity, and then Judah is about to go into the Babylonian captivity. It's a mess. And I see a parallel in America. We're in a mess. I know we got a new president, and I hope we'll all give him a chance to do something right, but the fact of the matter is, it wouldn't matter who came into the White House, we're still in a mess. But what's needed in the middle of a mess is a messenger. Somebody willing to step forward and say, "Here am I, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do." But what good is trying to fix a mess with a messenger if you ain't got a message? Now, Isaiah had a message. He reveals part of it in chapter 53, where he gives one of the greatest prophecies concerning the suffering servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. And I don't see that as physical healing as much as I see it as spiritual healing. Whatever wounds and hurts and pains and injuries, sin and iniquity and unrighteousness has ever done to your life or mine, there's forgiveness and healing through the message that Isaiah brought. Same message that Jesus exemplified and now is given to us here. Three things stand out to me about the Word of God in this passage that I've read. First is its greatness. You saw there where it said that the Lord's thoughts and ways are higher than our thoughts and ways, as the heaven is higher than the earth. Someone said it this way: you might as well ask a 5-year-old to explain the theory of relativity as put forth by Einstein as to ask us to explain all of the ways and purposes and things that God has ever done. We are probably further behind than the 5-year-old would be. The greatness of the Word of God. Now, it's not just God's ways and thoughts. Somebody might look at that and think, well, that's just what God thinks about and some stuff He does. We don't have any clue. Listen to me. The reason you have a Bible is so you would have a clue to God's thoughts and God's ways. If you want to know how God thinks about something, read a Bible. You don't have to check with Oprah and Dr. Phil or read some book put out by Hollywood or watch a movie or listen to a talk show to find out how God feels and thinks about certain things. You open your Bible up and read it, and there you'll find out what He thinks about the family and child rearing and churches and the way we live and adultery and sin and gossip. You name it. You'll know what God thinks about it. By the way, God does have an opinion on the things that are going on in our world. The greatness of the Word of God. This book is not just about theological issues. It's about practical issues. This book will not only tell you how to be saved, but it'll tell you how to live after you get saved. It'll tell you how to get up, get going, get right, or get left. This book has the power to change you and me. That's how great it is. But there's some goodness here. Verse number 10 tells us as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven. Now, we don't get a whole lot of snow around here like some of y'all from Wisconsin do. You can tell, I could tell his tone of voice. He wasn't from around these parts. If y'all could tell that or not. And I guess after you're in a foreign country for a while, even in Romania, Brent and Sarah probably pick up a little bit of those accents, and he's messing with them gypsies. You got to watch out, they'll be throwing a spell on you over there. But here's what I thought about, whether it's rain or snow or whatever it is, we all understand this, don't we? Don't we all think about this? Of how good it is sometimes. Man, that was good to get some rain. How we go through these droughts sometimes in different parts of our country. Now, I realize there's times where there are floods and so forth, but generally speaking, with some folks getting ready for spring gardens, planting stuff, and everybody wants, you know, at the right time, they want the rain because it's refreshing, it's good for the ground. Just as the verse here says, it brings forth, it maketh it bring forth and bud, and it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Have you ever as a Christian thought about you need the bread of the Word of God to help feed your soul? And don't you know that it's the seed of the Word of God that gets planted in the soil of men and women's hearts that they might know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? This is not just about what happens in the garden. That's an illustration. That garden and the rain and the snow and all those things that water the seed is an illustration of how God uses His Word. The greatness of the Word of God so far above us. We'll never plumb all the depths of the Bible. You can read John 3:16 1,000 times and find something fresh every time. But the goodness. But the final thing I see here, and this is the part I really would focus on and I'll be done, and that is the guarantee. Here's the guarantee. Now, I can't guarantee you're going to hit the game-winning shot at the end of the basketball game or come through with a clutch at the end of the baseball game, hit just the home run right where you pointed like Babe Ruth supposedly did. I cannot guarantee that. I can't even guarantee that all of us will even be here next week, but I can guarantee you this. Whatever God has sent forth His Word to do, it will accomplish that purpose. More of us, more of you, would put out a gospel tract if you actually believed it was going to do some good. If I could guarantee you that the tract you leave today, that the waitress is going to read that, and she's going to get saved as a result of what you left, I bet you'd be more willing to leave it. If I could guarantee you that something is going to be accomplished in your family member's life when you send them that gospel tract, I bet you, if I could guarantee it, you'd probably be more apt to send it. Maybe there's a coworker and you know they're going through some struggles and you got a tract that says God loves you. and you've thought a lot about giving it, the Holy Spirit's bringing conviction, and you know you'll do something to help them out. You prayed for them, you've offered help, but you just want to put something in their hand. Maybe it's not even that. Maybe it's just a whole Bible you want to give them. If I could guarantee you that God will use that book or that tract in their life, if I could guarantee that, would you do it? Well, I got something better than my guarantee. I have God's guarantee. Every John and Romans that Brent and Sarah give out over in Romania, everything that the Ingalls family are doing to spread those, I don't care if it's a little tent set up and everybody shows up and they give out something. Whatever it is, it's the Word of God. Verse 11 says, so shall my word. Then it's not the word of men. It's not some great sermon that was preached by a man or a great illustration or a funny story. No, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void or empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Now, there are going to be some people that will reject, resist, and even try to revise and rewrite the Bible because they don't like what it says. But God's purpose in giving them the message and an opportunity is still accomplished. There'll be some stony ground, but also be some good ground. And there'll be some opportunity for a person to get saved through the simple teaching and preaching. You don't have to hit a home run every time. You just got to be faithful to lay it on the line and trust that God will use it. Let me close with this morning. And I'm being brief, and I hope you'll understand why. But this week in my office, I believe it was Friday, I was sitting in my office, and one of our young international men from Nigeria came into my office. And he sat down and said, can I talk to you for a while? And I said, sure you can. And I said, what's up? He said, well, I've been under conviction. Now listen, I hadn't singled him out. I hadn't gone to him and cornered him up. I haven't made him necessarily take a specific course that I might drill into his brain, stick something down his throat. No. All we do here at church and school is just make sure we just give out the Word of God, 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 give out the Word of God. And we trust that we don't have to make the Word of God do its work. The Word of God will do its work if we'll just be faithful to let it loose. And this young man sat there in just a matter of moments. He recognized his need of Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I closed the door and I showed him the Romans Road and the simple plan of salvation that's laid out in this book. And in just a few moments of time, he knelt there in my office and asked Jesus to come into his heart and be his Savior. And that young man, could I ask you to stand? James Shodimu from Nigeria. Would you give that young man a hand? James? James? Did you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I'm so glad. I believe you said your granddaddy was a pastor. His grandfather was a pastor. But listen, it don't matter who your mom and daddy are or who your granddaddy is. You still need to be saved. Now, that's not a tribute to us. It's a tribute to the power of the Word of God that it did. Now, not everybody. I hope all them boys over there get saved and all y'all. But if none of y'all do, the Word still had its accomplished purpose in that young man's life. And he's going. I asked him right after he prayed and asked the Lord to save him. I said, would you like to follow the Lord in baptism? He said, yes, sir. Listen, when you get saved, you won't question or, well, I'm not really sure if I want to get baptized or not. No, when you get saved, you'll want to get baptized. It changes your heart. And I'm so grateful for what God has done. Let's stand together. James, if you would, come on back. We're going to take care of the baptism today. We're going to have an invitation while we get ready in the back. Brother Kicklighter will lead it. If today God's spoken to your heart about something in regard to what these missionaries have shared or what God's Word said, maybe you just want to commit yourself by the grace of God. I'm going to start giving out the Word of God and let it accomplish some great things for His glory. You do that. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing, Father, bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. As Brother Kicklighter leads us, find your way to this altar.